from Ballymoney in County Antrim, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
When Jonah was rescued from a watery grave, he made a few massive statements about God's salvation. He testified that salvation is of the Lord. Place your trust in Him, for there's no hope of rescue anywhere else. Then Jonah spoke of some people who wouldn't trust in the Lord for salvation. They reckoned they could pick it up cheaper somewhere else. But their plans ended in disaster. Jonah 2 in the verse 8 is the reference for that one. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. There are people today who don't trust in God for salvation, but they follow after some other lying vanity and so forsake any possibility of mercy. I wonder, is our salvation found in the Lord? Or does this day find us relying on what are actually lying vanities that are taking us away from mercy? That's the question we're asking in this message, but before we further explore it, let's listen to some music.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, secure from all alarms, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Good morning. I'm Ian Brown, and today we're considering the rather near-to-the-knuckle subject of lying vanities. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. One of the lying vanities that men in this modern age trust in is procrastination, or putting off any appeal to the Lord for salvation. A proclamation was issued to all of the rebel chiefs in the Scottish Highlands to appear at a given place on or before the 31st of December 1691. They were to take the oath of allegiance to the king. Those who didn't were to be treated as outlaws and were liable to be put to death as traitors to the crown. Hopelessly outnumbered, one by one the clans gave way and their chiefs signed their names on the required document. All except one. MacIan was the leader of the smallest yet the haughtiest tribe. He had no intention of holding out on his own against the organised strength of the king's forces, but he wanted to claim the distinction of being the last of the Scottish chiefs to submit. A couple of days before the deadline of the last day in December, Mike Ian set off on his journey. But a severe snowstorm hindered him from making any real progress. He didn't arrive until almost a week after the deadline. A band of soldiers immediately marched up the valley of Glencombe. Mike Ian and his followers were slain. They fell victims to his proud procrastination. How many there are in our day who hazard their souls by refusing to respond in time to the claims and commands of the great King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. People fondly imagine that death is a long way off. We think that we have plenty of time, that since health is on our side, we can choose to live as we please. We can indulge our body and soul in chasing after the pleasures of sin. And then, when we've achieved our every goal in this world, well, we can use those fleeting moments to reform our ways, to seek the salvation that Christ offers, and there, at that time, prepare for eternity. But what about the fact that our days on earth are short, swift, unsure, and speedily passing away? What about the truth the Bible repeatedly emphasizes, that our lives are brief and brittle at best? What about the certainty that there is absolutely no guarantee of tomorrow, and the possibility too that today might well be our last day on earth? God's word doesn't encourage the slightest delay on the issue of seeking God for salvation. The Bible says in Proverbs 27 and verse 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed be in time. Abandon that hope that you have plenty of time yet, and flee to Jesus Christ for mercy now. Another of the lying vanities that man trusts in today that drags him away from mercy is his own performances. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 9, we read about those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They felt quite confident looking at themselves that they were, well, just fine. They looked at their moral character. They'd neither committed adultery nor murdered anyone. They looked at their reasonably righteous living. They felt quite secure. Are there any like this today? You can be 100% sure of it. This world bends under the weight of people who imagine that by doing good works, then they've done all that God could possibly require of them, certainly enough to win his salvation. Are they making the right calculation? By no means. Paul declares, speaking about the means of receiving the salvation of God, Ephesians 2, the verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Our own performances, no matter how good they aren't near enough to save our souls. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, Jonah said, and that applies to the thought of, I can delay, procrastinate, I am good enough, performances. Others rely on their parentage. Some people, you see, are hoping that a mother or father's profession of faith in Jesus Christ, a grandmother or grandfather's relationship with God, is going to be a sufficient crutch for them to limp into heaven upon. When Jesus was here upon earth, the Jews could claim, and they did claim, in John 8 and verse 39, "Abraham is our father." They could proudly trace their line of descent back through the generations of time until their eye came to rest on that most illustrious name in their entire family tree, Abraham. So they pushed out their chests, patted themselves on the back, presumed that all was well with them, since they could say, as no other nation could, "We have Abraham to our father." But Christ pulled that most ridiculous crutch from below them when he said, in John 8 and verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil." We're not talking about a physical relationship here. We're talking about a spiritual relationship. And Jesus was tracing them in their rebellion, in their refusal of his mercy, back to their spiritual father, the devil. What an answer Jesus gave. It cut to shreds that wrong-headed idea that anybody can get a lift to heaven on the back of someone else's genuine experience with God. C.H. Spurgeon, famous Baptist preacher, once said, "A man cannot inherit religion. It's not a thing to be bequeathed like old clothes or family plate. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy." One of the lying vanities is procrastination. I can hold back until a more convenient season and then get saved. Another lying vanity and delusion is performances. I have done enough and I'm good enough for God to accept me into heaven. Yet another lying vanity is the thought of parentage, that I can piggyback my way to heaven on the basis of someone else's relationship with God. The final lying vanity that we're going to consider this morning, that some people talk about, is pity. God's curse upon sin, eternal separation from himself in the torments of hell, is announced to men. Some people fear it and run to the one refuge that is in Jesus. Others dismiss it as non-existent. But most men, while they don't go so far as to accuse the Lord of lying when he speaks solemnly about hell, they fondly believe that such is God's pity and God's love and God's mercy, that he'll withdraw his threat of torment on the day of judgment, and they'll never experience it. That thought is mere misguided sentimentalism. And it'll not be a soft, sentimental, weak-willed God that you or I'll have to face on the day of final judgment. His mercy's extended to us now. But when that mercy has run its course and we have refused it, it's only right that unerring justice should take over, and on the judgment, that'll be the case. If you're depending for heaven on one of these lying vanities we've been talking about, procrastination, I've plenty of time yet, performances, my good works are enough to get me to heaven, parentage, I'll ride to heaven on the back of some relative's relationship with God, pity, God will never send anyone to hell, so I'm safe whatever I do, if you're trusting in any of those, I plead with you to forsake these lying vanities and so grab hold of mercy. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But by the same token, those who forsake lying vanities will observe their own mercy. Truth is today, and truth is always, Christ Jesus is the only Saviour of sinners. His work's the only way to heaven. May you acknowledge your sins, denounce every flattery you've ever taken refuge in, and make your way to Jesus, trusting wholly and only in him. And may the Lord richly bless you and save your soul. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, coming from Ballymoney, County Antrim. We count it a privilege to bring the gospel of Christ to you in all its biblical fullness, and I trust that you've enjoyed today's program. If you've been challenged, encouraged, or helped in any way, we'd like to hear from you. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Let the Bible Speak, Ballymoney, County Antrim, BT53 6PE. Thank you for listening today. We're on the air here on Gospel AM each morning, Monday to Friday, at 9:30. So do remember to join us at this time as we let the Bible speak.